This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And we both welcome you to another very important broadcast from the New World next week. Three massive stories again to go over this week, and we're going to tour the Media Monarchy Kingdom. And we're first going to hit up MediaMonarchy.com for an amazing story that I would file under the history mystery. Unearthed document ties Kissinger to 1976 car bombing in D.C. Now, on Media Monarchy, I have a more lengthy article from the source, from the National Security Archive, but it's much too involved to go into in this small format. So we're going to hop over quickly to an article from Urian Mason on InfoWars. Kissinger effectively gave go-ahead for terror attack on U.S. soil in 1976. According to declassified documents released by the National Security Archive, former Secretary of State and longtime Bilderberger and war criminal Henry Kissinger rescinded instructions that would have prevented one of the worst terror attacks on U.S. soil before 9/11. On September 21, 1976, a car bomb exploded in downtown Washington, D.C., killing former minister of the Chilean Allende government, Orlando Letelier, and his assistant, Ronnie Moffitt, and signifying a major terror attack the likes of which had not been experienced on U.S. soil before. The perpetrators were quickly identified as agents of the Pinochet regime out to assassinate the figureheads of rival regimes all over the world. As it turns out, the string of attacks known as the Condor Murders was part of a long-time covert operations by several South American intel agencies consisting of international assassinations of dissidents and other enemies of fascist dictators. Although initially instructions were sent to U.S. ambassadors in South America to warn military leaders of a, quote, series of international murders, end quote, likely to occur, word came down from the State Department only 5 days before the car bombing in D.C., stating that Kissinger, quote, has instructed that no further action be taken on this matter, end quote. In other words, Kissinger overruled the first instruction, namely to order the ambassadors to warn the South American heads of state of likely attacks on their persons, replacing it with the instruction to effectively keep silent about them and, by extension, allowing the attack in Washington to move forward unhindered. This would be a let it happen on purpose. And we, of course, have to mention that Pinochet was the dictator installed after 9/11, 1973, when the U.S.-backed coup overthrew the democratically elected president of Chile, Salvador Allende. James?
Well, that's right. And that was quite a mouthful. So thanks for sharing that. But I certainly hope that people will go to MediaMonarchy.com to take a look at the story and to read the related links and to watch the video to really get a bigger grasp of this story, because it's a little bit convoluted. But suffice it to say, yes, this is just another notch in the war crime belt of Henry Kissinger. And anyone who's interested in some of the other lowlights of his career can go to a recent podcast episode that I had on CorbettReport.com about Henry Kissinger and just some of the really terrible things that he's been involved in throughout his life. And just suffice it to say here that there's a reason why there are a number of countries that he will never set foot in around the world, because they have extradition with various countries around the world that might want him for war crimes. So very interesting story indeed, and just more confirmation of what we already know. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's move on to story number two.
We're going to hop over to one of my sister sites, foodworldorder.com, for a little bit of good news, and this coming from organicconsumers.org. Monsanto under investigation by seven U.S. states. At least seven U.S. state attorney generals are investigating whether Monsanto has abused its market power to lock out competitors and raise prices on seeds. Iowa, Illinois, Ohio, Texas, Virginia, and two unidentified states are in a working group to investigate the biotech giant. The states are probing whether Monsanto violated laws by offering rebates to seed distributors for excluding rival seeds, imposing limits on combining the product with other genetic modifications, or offering cash incentives to switch farmers to more expensive generation of seed varieties. The DOJ, the United States Department of Justice, is investigating the company's marketing practice, and DuPont has accused Monsanto of anti-competitive practices. So I guess in a good way, we'd like to see maybe DuPont and Monsanto destroy each other. And this almost reminds me in a way that, you know, folks like gangsters like Al Capone ultimately went down because of funny money schemes. So if that's the way we can take down Monsanto, then I'll take it. And ultimately, I think the way we're going to have to go at this is on a more state and local grassroots level. James?
I agree completely, and I agree that any way that we can take down Monsanto is a good thing. But correct me if I'm wrong, but Corporate Responsibility Magazine just recently called this one of the most top responsible corporations in the U.S., didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And Forbes magazine said that they were the top company of 2009.
Yep, company of the year. So, again, you know, we're getting mixed messages from different organizations.
I can't understand how they got it so wrong. I just, strange.
But I think, you know, folks, fortunately, this is in a way, you know, being against Monsanto is kind of a no-brainer.
Enough said. How about story number three?
Our third story will visit my third site, cyberspacewar.com. And this is a fascinating one by way of allgov.com, avoiding death by uploading your brain. Ken Hayworth, a postdoctoral fellow at Harvard, has come up with an unusual potential form of immortality by preserving the human brain in a computer. Most theories of extending life, such as using experimental supplements or supersensitive health monitoring, work with a person's existing body. Hayworth suggests that it might be possible to copy your brain, complete with all thoughts, memories, and learned abilities for use in a form other than the body you have used all your life. Theoretically, human thoughts can be copied and loaded onto a hard drive, Hayworth insists, which is why he's seeking funding for a Brain Preservation Technology Prize, which would solicit solutions for his hypothesis. The process would likely entail freezing or preserving the brain shortly before death, then slicing it into nanometer-thin wafers, scanning it, and uploading it onto a computer. I do have one kind of, I suppose, slightly humorous flashback over to Media Monarchy. Ted Williams' severed head abused in cryonics lab, and cryonics, of course, is they freeze a dead body, and to me, just very simply, I think that that would never work. But uploading your brain to a computer, I suppose, seems a little more feasible. And again, this is now. This is the future. We are there when we're talking about these things. And ultimately, James, doesn't a lot of this come down to what is referred to as transhumanism?
Certainly does. Transhumanism, the H+ agenda to merge men with machines, and it's an absolutely horrific thought in so many different ways, and one that I've covered on the Corbett Report before in podcast episodes I've done, and more specifically in interviews that I've done with Greg Nicoletos of WakeUp.tv and the We the People Will Not Be Chipped movement. And I really hope that people will check out WakeUp.tv to find out more about the transhumanist agenda, because it is truly frightening, and we are getting to that point where we can now really talk about merging humanity with these machines and all of the implications of that. And whenever you post something about this online, there's always the people who will come on to defend the transhumanist agenda, and it will be so great when we all merge with the machines. But the point is that the oligarchs and plutarchs who have ruled our society for centuries have never given technology to the people to be used in some wonderful way, and they're not about to start, and this is not a good thing for humanity.
It's not going to be for us.
Exactly. The benefits are not going to be for us at any rate. So it's something to be resisted, another point that needs to be resisted. All right, and moving along, this is the New World next week, and I think there are some possible things that are coming up in the coming week that are worthy of mentioning. So James, why don't you tell people about that?
So, and that's in a way why we so kind of quickly went over the first three stories, because we wanted to have time here at the end to mention that, of course, in the States, it is income tax day on April 15th, and there will be protests and counter-protests. And then leading up to, I believe, on the 19th, some rallies happening in Washington, D.C., where there's all kinds of talk of the Black Bloc anarchists versus the Tea Party versus the cops versus God knows who else. And this all, unfortunately, swirls around, for whatever reason, the time of the year that we seem to have homegrown errorist events in the United States, whether that's Waco or Columbine or Oklahoma City or Virginia Tech. And this, to me, just seems like the perfect storm for something bad to go down for all of these groups.
That's exactly right. And I just want people to take a look at the demonization of the militia movement and of the Oath Keepers and other organizations that's happening right now. It's getting more and more ridiculous, which I think is really only prepping the people to be prepared for some sort of setup of these organizations in the event that anything happens. No matter what happens, it can be blamed on these organizations. And on a deprogramming note, I'm going to be having Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers on Friday on the Corbett Report, so please stay tuned for that. It's going to be a very interesting interview, especially given the media demonization of Rhodes and the Oath Keepers recently. All right, James Evan Pilato, that's all the time we have for today. So once again, thank you so much for all your work.
Thank you, man. Take care.